Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and we are going to talk some Star Wars news, some audience listener questions, and of course, check out who has become a Jedi Knight this week on Jedi Temple Challenge.
Jedi Temple Challenge. It's been a fun part of my week. News and views, indeed. Before we get to all that, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. As always, a little bit later, we'll have our Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. But before we do that, we want to talk about Star Wars or life adventures. Just catch up. Joseph, how was your week in Star Wars?
My week in life and Star Wars were both pretty good. Star Wars, I should say. My Star Wars week was great. life, of course, is everybody who is alive is aware, is quite difficult right now. But I did have some good things. I finished a draft of a script that I was working on, so I was excited about that. I went for a walk. It sounds like small things, but these are major accomplishments. For Star Wars adventures, you know, it's been a great time because people are so excited in the last week or so about the Star Wars Squadrons game. So that was a lot of positive conversation about that. Still getting to watch Mandalorian Report, Jedi Temple Challenge, all sorts of fun stuff. But then I started reading Queen's Peril, which, of course, is the not new. It was that book came out right during the heat of a lot of the civil unrest. So I think it wasn't super publicized. I didn't realize until after a week that it was out that it had actually come out. So Saturday, I really struggle with taking a day all the way off. And so I was like, on Saturday, I'm going to try to take the day all the way off. And my wife was like, well, what are you going to do? I was like, I'm going to read this Star Wars book. And she's like, aren't you going to review that on Force Center? Isn't that work? And I was like, well, yeah, technically, but it's if I wasn't going to review it, this is what I would want to do on Saturday anyway, yeah. Which is a mark of having a good time.
Yes.
In life. You're pretty lucky. But man, I'm loving it so much. When it was announced, the time period that it set in of just as Padme becomes queen, I was like, oh, I'm really intrigued, but I don't know if I'm that jazzed by that time period. And boy, was I wrong. You were wrong past me. Mm. Great stuff with Padme, with the handmaidens, diving into everything that we learned in Queen's Shadow, but from a, you know, origin point of view. And then, you know, I don't want to give any spoilers, but I did not realize how deep into Star Wars canon it was going to dive. Mm. And I'm really, really excited to discuss it. You know, you and I will be reviewing it as soon as we can, either in the next week, within the next 2 weeks. Yeah. But I can't wait to dig in. I'm about halfway through and I can't wait to finish. It's really great.
Oh, I'm excited. I saw some tweets come into Force Center about it, even related to our Jar Jar Binks episode last week. And I'm excited. And I did order it. And, you know, with everything going on in the world, if I order something and have the option to delay it, if I don't need it right away, I'll take that option. Well, you know, I'm still waiting on the book, but it's coming soon. So, yes.
Ken's peril.
So that's good, man. That's a good, that's, if that's a day off, that's a good day off.
It was a good day off. It was really, really enjoyable. And then I did stop to watch the news because I couldn't stop myself, but yeah. I still enjoyed Queen's Peril. Anyway, how was your week? How was your life for Star Wars adventures?
You know, all things considered, you know, we're all right. We're all right. That's the answer I give these last couple weeks. Yeah, we're all right. But I'll tell you what I did do. I a lot of times when I'm doing work, writing, prepping, I'm trying to work hard to, you know, just be more diligent on prepping my week, my schedules, my shows, whatever it is. And so when I do that, I'll put on something on YouTube. A lot of, you know, jokes aside, I love a good ASMR video or something to relax me in the background. But what I did this past week is I finally put on that Christopher Nolan Interviews George Lucas video that's out there. That's from a few years ago, I do believe. And I see it pop up every now and then. And I was like, and it popped up in the recommends, which is one of those times where it's like, oh, the algorithm actually worked this time, not shown me an angry car guy YouTube Star Wars video that I have to say not interested on. So I watched it, and it is fascinating. And it's George being George and, you know, being humble in some spots and, yeah, we created something great in the others. Addressing some of the tensions with ILM back in the day, which is always interesting because you hear, you know, you can't deny that part of the Star Wars story, even in Empire of Dreams, which is a pretty positive Lucasfilm created documentary about Star Wars. You know, John Dykstra even addresses it. Right. And so it's interesting to see George kind of dance around that at times, but also addressed it with Christopher Nolan, a director who was like, wait a minute, what? You 6 months of work and they had not one shot prepared for you, and it was fun. But in the interview George is talking about cars. You know, he's a car guy, wanted to be a race car driver till the accident, and he was telling a story. I think he was talking with his son Jet, saying how, look, it's a little back in my day, you know, you worked on the car, you opened up the hood, you oil changed yourself, you did this, you have a flat, you fix it. And then George says, nowadays, you know, if it breaks down out on the road, you call 3A. Now, AAA is what it's called.
I was going to say, did he mean 3M? Because that's not right.
Right. It's true.
You get a post-it note from 3M.
That is the generally accepted way to say the automobile club, AAA. But George said 3A. And Nolan doesn't stop, and I mean, nor would he. I wouldn't expect it. I have not stopped thinking about this because, one, it speaks to George, who, you know, Han, Han, Leia, Leia, all those kind of things. He's the leader of that lightsaber, laser sword, whatever you want to say. But also made me think, is this just an indication of how George sees the world so much differently than me and why he's the genius and I am not? Is it really 3A? And am I the one who's wrong?
You know, sometimes, Ken, as much as I love deep diving into Star Wars, I think sometimes a 3A is just a 3A. I think it's possible that this is not a mark of genius, but just a not finding the right words.
Maybe. Maybe it's that George in the food court we always talk about. Just getting it wrong, Grandpa. Grandpa, it's AAA. I don't care. All right. Anyways, it stayed with me. It was a lot of fun, though. I do enjoy watching George speak. It's an adventure every time.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to watch that one because I think Nolan's a particularly interesting director to have him paired with, because I think Nolan is an extremely conceptual and special effects heavy director, right? Yeah. So
it was fascinating.
Yeah. And I've seen him eat a burger at one of my local burger places.
Christopher Nolan? Oh, nice.
Yep. The old living in, you know, just the actual neighborhood of Hollywood dance of like, remember, before you have any opinion about any pop culture, look around you, because there's every possibility it could have come up like, yeah, Inception's a good movie, but personally a little emotionally cold for me. And like, whoa, no, wait, he's sitting right there.
He's right there. That's awesome. Celebrities, they're just like us. And George Lucas, he has car problems every once in a while. I wonder if George still tinkers under the hood. All right, I'll stop.
No, it's great. Actually, I mean, that I really want to hear, I'm going to go watch it because I want to hear the rest of that car thing.
Yeah.
Because that's fascinating about the idea. Yeah. You know, when I called my dad for Father's Day this weekend, he was literally working on his 1950 Chevrolet truck still. Still adjusting the valves to the exact right number that he wanted, he thought would be best. So that is a fascinating difference
to
be able to actually get your hands in there.
Yep. And George lives it. So that is my Star Wars adventures, life adventures. And now we're going to dive into the news, our look at the news of the week. And Joseph, we talked about it a lot last week, but then the gameplay was revealed. Star Wars Squadrons, we now know a lot more. There was a trailer out there. There was the EA Play online, all these things that a bunch of people with TikTok accounts probably watched and I didn't. But we got this stuff here. I'm going to run through some stuff and we'll go beat by beat and dive into it. And folks, I do play a lot of games. When I say I'm not a gamer, I do game. I just don't get bogged down on all the details. I highly recommend going to Alex and Molly's channel, Star Wars Explained. Alex knows all the stuff a little bit more. So I'm sliding on the surface of things a little bit here. The game will be in first person and ugh. Joseph, I just want to stop and talk about this a little bit here. All right. Now, the cockpit experience will be very immersive. A lot of things you got to pay attention to. I'm all on board for that. First person, and I get it's related probably to the VR option of the game. I just got to pick my spirits up from this one.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think this is a part of the way that entertainment and video games are promoted, that 5-minute video was all hype, right?
Yeah.
But honestly, I would have liked to have my hand held. I would have liked to have them pat me on the back and say, this is why it's going to be okay if there's no third person. This is why it's going to add incredibly new, cool gameplay. This is why it's not going to make you motion sick. This is why it's not going to make you constantly crash by clipping your wing on something that you didn't know was there. Like, I kind of trust that that's the case, but I honestly wish that they had spent a little bit more time, you know, upselling what was going to be cool about it and saying, don't worry about X, don't worry about Y. Not the buttons, but, you know, the variables.
Yeah, it makes sense. Look, this isn't going to stop me from playing the game. This isn't that. And jokes aside, this isn't Grandpa doesn't know how to play games. No, I don't do first person well. I joke, but I think there's some truth to the fact that I've grown up playing sports games and I need to see my pitcher. I need to see my quarterback. I need to see my batter. Like I every time there's an option, including Battlefront 2 or any Star Wars game, to play from third person behind the character, so I actually can see it moving, that's what I choose. So it'll be a bit of an adjustment. Again, not going to stop me. This isn't an angry video here. No, this isn't that. This is just me saying, okay, I get it. I get what you're trying to do with the VR thing. I did do the Battlefront VR when it was the X-Wing thing. Went over to my friend JT's house, and we actually did a session, and it was mind-blowing. So if that's even better and everything, maybe that's an option too, and I won't worry about it. And again, I don't think I'm going to worry about it, Joseph. It's just something I got to have to swallow my pride and my trepidation and do it. Play.
Yeah, I need to emotionally process this just a little bit more because I think we are not alone. I immediately looked at all of the comments on the various official tweets, and a ton of them are like, really, no third person option? I think, like, I loved Rogue Squadron, and, you know, there's an option where you could click to cockpit view. And I would have loved to hear just a little bit more about the flight mechanics, about how much of, you know, exactly how it's going to work, how much you're if there are moments where you kind of get railroaded, where you're not flying, right, you're shooting and you're making shield and engine choices, or is it that you're always flying? That would have been a little bit more gameplay information, because with the Rogue One cockpit thing, like, yeah, it limits your view. But if this whole thing is designed that way, or Rogue Squadron, if this whole thing is designed that way, I would assume it's going to be you're going to have to work a little harder to crash.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm with you. And it's a great video package here, but it was a little bit of a, oomcha, 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 you're going to fly. I agree with you there. Anyways, folks, if it sounds negative, I'm very excited about this game. This is just, it's just a thing. It's just a thing with me. All right. I didn't play Doom when it was so popular because I didn't see my Doom guy. One of the other things, though, that was emerged is you can customize your cockpit. This is a fun little thing. If you're going to be stuck in it, you might as well customize it. And that means hello, Ewok bobblehead. What you feel about that?
Oh, just endless amounts of joy. Yeah. It was just great. I mean, that was the best sort of upsell to the cockpit. Like, again, until I get in there with the actual gameplay, I love the idea of, like, you're going to get a little bit more of the actual pilot perspective. You have to manage shields and speed and all that stuff that's a little bit closer to simulating, a pilot's experience rather than just making your ship go zoom. But then the customization, that idea of, like, I want to stay in my cockpit because I can see my bobbleheads. That's the thing that made me feel like, give me the game now.
Yeah. Yeah, just fun. And look, here I am going, first person, shake my fist at it. I saw some people upset that, oh, now Funko Pops are canon in Star Wars. And to them, I say, just enjoy life a little bit. So I'll use my own advice on me for first person, if you all agree to do that, if you don't like the Ewok bobblehead. I thought it was a good idea, and I'm sure there'll be other options as well.
I think that there is an ancient Sith planet in the unknown regions called Funko.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the plot.
Yes.
Of Star Wars Squadrons is you have to find your way to Funko.
I love this idea. The game is going to be centered at first around a single player story featuring the Vanguard Squadron versus the Titan Squadron. I do believe Titan is the Imperial one. And you'll fly for both the pilots, and then you'll move into other multiplayer battles and modes. The dogfight is 5v5, and then fleet battles, which is the signature mode of the game. It's a multi-stage conflicts. You'll have a squad. You have to meet up in a briefing room, and you all have to, load up accordingly and talk it out. You can do a lot of this single player, though, and do it against AI, which me, the loner, will probably do more of. But this will be fun for at least a couple Friday nights, pouring a drink, getting online, and maybe, me, Scrimshaw, Damon, and a lucky fifth will compete for the glory of the Republic. What do you think about all this stuff here, including, again, going back to the single player mode to kind of start you out, Joseph?
Yeah. I'm really excited about the single player. I've seen some tweets from people working on the writing. I'm so interested in this time period. It's so close to Alphabet Squadron, the series of novels. It's got the potential to feature lots of cool people. Obviously, people are really excited to see Hera and Rae Sloane in the trailer. So I'm really hoping for some juicy actual story. Battlefront 2, the story mode, you and I have talked about a lot. Some favorite quotes, some favorite ideas come from that storyline. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to fly and possibly crash with my bobbleheads. I'm hoping for Porgs.
Yeah.
Porg bobblehead. But then, man, the story is what I'm really excited for.
Yeah, that is where I'm at as well. Any trepidation I might have about how I'm going to play the game or how much I'll crash is swept aside. by the story behind it, some of the names associated with it, and even already, you know, no secret, we as Force Center, as a collective, as a team, love Hera. We love Rae Sloane. Really excited. I just did the Star Wars Ranked on Rae Sloane a couple weeks ago. And that just brings me so much joy, but also just like, great, we are going to get something of consequence, and I like that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to log flight time in all 8 ships to get online. I don't know if that meant that literally before you're allowed to go online and face 12-year-olds in Topeka, you need to log some flight time so you can be ready to be killed in 2 seconds. I don't know. but this is, it was fun. That was a fun little reveal. But then this kind of unintentionally got people upset because, Joseph, it's missing the B-Wing. What say you about the B-Wing controversy?
I like the B-Wing as well, and I would say maybe give it time, you know, if the video game is popular, maybe that's going to be an expansion, you know?
I have faith in the expansion. I really do. I feel the loss. I want to fly. I love my Y-Wings, but always fascinated about a B-Wing. Like, how does that work? What's going on? And to be, if it's so immersive, this game, as it's promising, then I think the B-Wing would benefit from that immersion into the weird little cockpit and the flippity-doo aspect of the B-Wing there.
I wonder if there are just like some physics going on too, because almost all of the other cockpits are centralized to the ship. And the B-Wing is like, yeah, you got a lot of ship that's not you.
Yeah, yeah.
Behind the, in a totally different part of the screen.
A lot of movement, a lot of shaking. A lot revealed. We're covering kind of the basics here. Like I said, more will be revealed over time. Very excited about the Rae Sloane thing. Hera as well. Definitely excited about what's going on. And even the time period, I enjoy that. I really love the Battle of Jakku. So if we can lead up to that or get some more information around that time, I'm all for it. So again, no secret, I'm slapping down my Republic credits to get this. I bet you are too, Joseph. So that aside, what do we think of this game right now with a little more information behind it?
Oh, I like it. The more we talk about it, even with my concern about the first person, I'm really intrigued to try it. And even if I don't super love the gameplay or I'm not super good at it, I'm there for the story. I really like that they made it very clear that it's going to be customizable, that you get to be your own pilot and you know, get to unlock new things just by playing. So they're making it really clear. It's not a loot box thing, which, you know, hurt Battlefront 2's launch, that controversy. So I like that they made that super, super clear. So yeah, I want to personalize a pilot and fly with a Trandoshan and Mimbanese and fly around and try to free the galaxy terrorize the galaxy as the Empire as well. Yeah. So I'm super excited. And the other main thing that I really I'm going to keep in mind for myself is I think that we need to do a good job of listening to creators when they say what this is. And they said it's a smaller scale focused game for $40. So I don't expect that much. I am more than happy to pay $40 to pretend to fly an X-Wing.
I actually love that you say it that way and put the focus on that. Hey, $40 is still $40. It's like a couple cups of coffee at a high-end coffee shop here in LA, so I'll be all right. Even for Force Center alone, we'll be on board giving it a try. But I like what you're saying because it even reminds me to just be like, cool, it's going to be this fun little corner you can go to, just like Battlefront is for me right now, where I just want to go around and shoot some droids. Boom, let me fire this up. It's part of being a Star Wars fan, all the aspects of it that you get to enjoy, and this could be one of them as well. So, from there, we go to, well, kind of another game. We got another one coming out, the Star Wars Skywalker Saga Lego game is on the way. And to help celebrate the Skywalker Saga ahead of the new Lego video game and also promote the game, we've got new Lego sets. These are sets that will be in the game. They'll have some significance to them in the game. The sets include, but are not limited to, the Night Buzzard, which is, you got all the heavy metal Knights of Ren there. Solus One, Grievous' ship, which includes Obi-Wan, ready to kill him. Death Star Final Duel, which, I started salivating. And yet another AT-AT set. I already have one myself. This is like the Falcon. When they can re-release it, they'll find a way to re-release it. and then I'm usually there buying it there. So first of all, and I left some off there, Joseph, any of those or some of the other ones grab your attention?
Oh, yeah. These are great to look at and say, which one would I buy if I could allow myself to collect the Lego? Because I just can't. But no, very, very excited by the Night Buzzard. You know, the minifigs are so successful about making me go, which minifigs right. do I want? And the Rise of Skywalker Rey. And I believe those two Knights of Ren, I believe it Cardo and Kurik, because those are the two that carry blasters. Wow. And both those guys have blasters. I love the Soulless One. That's a great ship. It's an underrated, awesome design of a ship. So that one grabbed me. And then I just kind of liked, because it was fun to be pedantic, I liked that the AAT, the armored assault tank with the battle droids, comes with final season of Clone Wars, Ahsoka and Clone Trooper.
Right.
Even though they don't fight in AAT.
Yeah. technically. That's right. And I know we're potentially getting some more Clone Wars Season 7 stuff down the line, some other items. But, yeah, nice to have it there. So here's kind of the significance. Every set, like I said, will be in the video game, as well as the minifigs. However, some of them will require an unlock code. And you get that unlock code with these sets. I don't recall anything this way in terms of marketing before. So, Joseph, what do you think about the unlock code? And, you know, we love Star Wars, but what do you think about this marketing tactic?
It is an obvious marketing tactic.
Yeah.
It is one of those things that I try to keep forward in my mind, that I love the story of Star Wars and the idea of Star Wars, and then just a healthy reminder. Like we did with the Disney Gallery, this is exactly what this company wants us to know. We are watching a press release. So I do try to remember that. And this is one of those times where it is not hard to be reminded that, yes, Star Wars is a beautiful story. It was not founded as a nonprofit by George Lucas in 1977. It is meant to make money. So I like this. And I do wonder if this is an effort to try to keep physical toys alive, because if a lot of kids are gravitating toward video games, this is a fun way to say, look, this physical thing that we shut off the any screens and we build this together and then you get it in the video game is a way to encourage a celebration of physical toys and some non-screen time as well.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, you know, in terms of just, hey, let's all play outside or at least on a dining room table with your family, but also it's diabolically smart, so it can work. And you know, it's gonna probably work on me, like the Night Buzzard and Soulless One and Death Star Final Duel. They've got a future in my closet, so I'll be grabbing.
Let me be perfectly clear. If this was you buy a Funko Pop and then you can have that Funko Pop on your cockpit in Star Wars Squadrons,
right.
I would be lined up around the block. I would clone myself to line up around the block multiple times.
Like Multiplicity, Michael Keaton. Hey, he was Batman and is again. We got a final headline here. Three images released from the upcoming Star Wars Dark Legends from the artist Grant Griffin. George Mann is writing this book. This is kind of a follow-up or in the same vein of Star Wars Myths and Fables. Same team did that. Be released July 28th, 2020. Cool shot of like a Sith character with like a curved hook lightsaber in front of the Sith throne on Exegol was the highlight for me, at least. These books will play with stories, myths, legends, and decidedly stay around canon but never truly in it. What are our thoughts on these types of books and stories, Joseph?
I was really excited about this one. I really like that visual. There's the great image of Vader with an Imperial officer not doing well, reflected in the eyes of Vader.
Right.
I love that weird hooked lightsaber. It looks like he's working vaudeville and somebody's act needs to end.
Yes, I thought he was
a Sith hook.
Yeah, I thought he was maybe a Sith fisherman, like gonna get this.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It should be like. It should be weird, right? Mm-hmm. But it is weird, but in a beautiful way. This is interesting with the news that we cover, because a lot of times it is about, hey, some more toys, some more games, some more books. And I get to a time limit where I just like, I truly don't have time to absorb everything that's being put out. And that's the way I felt about the Star Wars Myths and Fables. I was really excited about it when the news broke. And then I didn't have time. I think I'm going to make time for this Dark Legends because I really liked in this StarWars.com article announcing it and reading about it, how much it's really leaning into the overlap of the Star Wars mythos with horror in general and gothic horror specifically. I love that first early scenes in Rise of Skywalker, particularly when Kylo first gets to Exegol, how much it feels like a horror movie, like an early Universal horror movie even.
Yeah.
And I like that the Sith represent that horror influence in Star Wars and that this book is going to dive into that. I really want to spend some time with that.
You're making me more excited than I was. When it comes down to time, I make odd cuts that sometimes are at odds with things I preach. Like I love canon, but I always say don't be bogged down by canon. But when I hear that these are, they're myths, they're fables, they're tales, they may or may not affect anything in the Star Wars universe, I skip over them more easily than I would otherwise. This is what Freemaker Adventures. I believe in my heart that you and Jennifer are 100% right, that this is a great show that's rewarding in its own way. But because I know it's not specifically canon, I skip over it easier. I don't, and I have to, that's for me to figure out. But describing it as you are, just this gothic horror, the story, it's spending time on Exegol in any way, shape or form, even if it's just a story passed down through the history of inside of Star Wars. That excites me. So maybe I'll have to make some time.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how the book handles it, too, because it's a part of actual canon that I'm really intrigued by. We've got a little bit more information in canon about how general citizens of the galaxy perceive the Jedi at different times of the Jedi existence.
Right.
But exactly how people in the Star Wars galaxy in modern canon perceive the Sith at different times, I think that's even part of the tension in Rise of Skywalker when we have the really fast information about Palpatine returning, of the somehow Palpatine returned that kind of gets poked fun at by people. And of course, the famous Beaumont Kin line, that it feels like the Sith are even more, they weren't quite real, were they? That wasn't our actual government, was it? And right. I'm curious to see if this will add any flavor to that, of these are the stories about these, unreal monsters that couldn't be. That's Palpatine couldn't have been one of those, is that like saying like, hey, a president you didn't like in real life was a chupacabra, right? Yeah. Like that's unbelievable, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Yes. No, I like that take on it, especially as it's related to the Sith. That's a fascinating side conversation. I was rewatching Rise of Skywalker last week to study in vain. And just the fact that even in the First Order, people are like, oh, come on, who are these people? Palpatine.
Yeah.
I like that. So yeah, maybe it'll factor in. Well, July 28, 2020, the book can be in your hands, everybody. That is a look at news. I will say this, as we were going to air, there was some news coming out about some potential new figures, including a Black Series 6-inch Cardinal figure. We'll cover that if needed next week. A lot of the little tiny details in the figure releases or rumors and stuff we don't necessarily always cover here at Force Center, but just want to acknowledge that some of that stuff was being talked about as we were pressing record on our machines. So we are going to take a quick break, but before we do, we're going to have our Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what is today's winner?
This one's going to be a shocker. It's Queen's Peril by E.K. Johnston. I am really enjoying the heck out of it, and we're going to be talking about it soon, so get it in your ears.
Put it into your ears today. Download your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. We'll be right back after this to take a look at the Jedi Temple Challenge episode from last week, the third one, and your questions from Twitter and Patreon. More coming here, right here on Force Center, the Superstar Destroyer of the fleet. We have two now. That's the answer. All right, stick around.
life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Hey, 4Center fans, don't forget 4Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's 4Center on YouTube. Check it out.
Back, emerging from the data pits of our Super Star Destroyer. We have two, and we are going to talk some Jedi Temple Challenge. Right, Ken?
We are going to dive into this fun show, this game show for all ages, but definitely for kids. It's part of the Star Wars experience, and we're here to review it, take a look at the lessons and the moments that we loved. And we had three teams, as always, the blue, orange, and purple. We had Haley and Sean as the blue team, Tobin and Evan, the orange team, Tate and Dodge. Purple. I love that's a good team. Tate and Dodge are USA characters. Welcome, detective agency there. And, by the way, spoilers if you haven't caught up on Jedi Temple Challenge. Tate and Dodge became the Jedi. They resisted the dark side and took the time to get right answers. That's an interesting lesson there. I loved Joseph on this one specifically. They were just like weren't even bothered by the dark side. They were so just like locked in on their own building.
They really were. They were not even remotely tempted. It was fun to see some of the challenges get switched up again. And in that challenge, it did really seem like they had a lot more patience for one another. And what do you know? It paid off. It's almost like Star Wars wisdom really works.
Yeah, and even in the final, the two-on-two battle, or the two teams in the spaceship there, they took their time to communicate and get the answers. And look, from competing in trivia contests to just before you tweet, taking your time to get it right is a valuable lesson to me.
Although I have to say, in the second part, the knowledge part, where they're answering basically trivia questions about the great little story that they heard. I felt for Haley. I feel awful to watch his show and then have, you know, favorites of children competing. But Haley was great. Yeah. Haley had a lot of wisdom. I love that she described herself as silent but deadly. And she in the second round for the knowledge, you know, she picked the treasure chest where the answer was lock. But wasn't the lock on the treasure chest? So was she? I think she should have challenged that by movie trivia schmodown rules. She should have challenged that.
I love you. I love you. Yes, I think I would have gone the same way. But yeah, I love that. And you're right. She had in the little postal little interview they do there for each team when they go back to the temple for further training. She said, even though we struggled, we could still get through it. And I feel that is the big lesson of the show. It's not everything's easy. Not everything worth it is easy. And even then, you can just have some failures and obstacles along the way. But Joseph, by golly, you can get through it.
Yeah, you can get through it and you can learn for next time. And this episode was just delightful because everybody had that great spirit of we are challenging ourselves and we are trying to do the best job we can do. And I thought Haley and Sean did a great job. And yeah, we do need that lesson, right? Because we talk about that a lot from it gets focused on, I think, in Empire and Last Jedi, and to a lesser degree, Attack the Clones, all the second acts that, you know, you learn from failure. And that's such a healthy way to approach a fun game show like this.
Yeah. And even as you're working through big projects or big changes, everything, it's not easy. It's not hard, but keep on going till morning. The change will come. The work will get there. This, you mentioned the story. These are fast becoming one of my favorite parts of Jedi Temple Challenge, are these stories that 83 tells. Mary Holland does a great job. In this one, there was a lot in this one. Go ahead. No, do you have a favorite moment?
No, I love the canon dump, right? Like, I mean, yeah. I know like they slipped in Jackson. Mm-hmm. Jackson's always slipping in places. Sometimes he's just got to barge in through the front door. But man, I mean, a new Mos, I think, on Tatooine, Mos Zabu, we know there's other settlements. So that was great to hear about that. A Yuuzhan, right? I mean, it's hard to find things that a lot of Star Wars fans agree on, but I know many people are not a fan of Zhao Yauza, mm-hmm. who is a Yuuzhan. So it was great to see another Yuuzhan pop up and another hut get a shout out.
Yeah, a lot of that. I mean, and because it was wrapped around pod racing, I think immediately we kind of perk up like, ooh, addition to the ranks of pod racers and stuff that we like. It's the documentary that will one day come out about the Boon Tiev Classic will now factor in stuff in this story. So I loved it there. Yeah, and Joe Yazan not being on his own anymore to take the heat, I think that's good.
He's got some company to be the most despised Yuuzhan.
My big final question from this year, and it comes from the story. What do we think Bantha Sludge Stew is?
Yeah, you know, as soon as that came up, because we got a lot of that. We have Jawa juice that we know is not made by Jawas, which invites the... Is it made... How did it get... Maybe some things are best left unknown. A mystery of the Force. Felt that way a little bit about Bantha Sludge Stew. But I'm be honest, as soon as I saw this question on your notes, it was just like, it's some sort of intestinal fluid.
Yes. Right. Right.
There was a great turn of phrase there about how long it was going to take the Yuzum to get it out of its fur and other places or something like that.
Something like that. Look, I think we're all going to find out because I'm campaigning right now that this should be an option at Galaxy's Edge. We'll all find out. But yeah, look, you know, I'm a fan of cottage cheese. And anytime someone tries to explain what it is, I say, I'm going to stop you right there and get on your way. So Bantha Sludge Stew, who knows what it is, but it's a bright neon green. Did I pass the test? Did I get a question right there? I can't remember if that was what I saw.
I think it was green. Yes.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But I love that kind of stuff. And yeah, you mentioned Jamba Juice. I'm glad you did. This is not like some super cute thing they added for a kids game show. That tracks. That tracks. I think George would have created that.
Oh, yeah. 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 I was delighted to hear Frank Oz use the kids' specific names again, right. Because I think he did in the first and then not in the second. And anytime you can hear Yoda say kids' names, I love it. It made me think, I'm going to keep watching Jedi Temple Challenge because I'm enjoying it, but I want to watch for the day that a kid named Liam wins so we can hear Yoda say Liam again.
Liam. It's so funny you mentioned because I love in Last Jedi when Yoda says Rey, actually says the name Rey.
Yeah.
It makes me giggle like it's all real. You know, Yoda knows who Rey is. It's crazy. So yeah, to hear Tate, Dodge. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. I'm sure it's even more exciting for them.
Yes.
So that is our look at Jedi Temple Challenge for this week. We'll keep you update on the show all through the first season, the first run here, 10 episodes in total coming our way. So from there, though, we're going to go to audience questions, Joseph.
That is right. We always get audience questions from both Twitter and Facebook and our patrons on Patreon. This week, we're going to Twitter. So starting with a Twitter user with the handle Star Wars Mythos. Star Wars Mythos says, do you think that the First Order is a goofy, failed Neo version of the Empire, or do you think that the First Order is more powerful? All personal favoritism aside, which is more threatening, the Empire or the First Order / Final Order? That is a lot to unpack, and that is great. So let's kind of take the first half. Do you think the First Order is a goofy, failed version of the Empire, or do you think the First Order is truly more powerful, Ken?
I think it is. I mean, Goofy's I'll say Goofy failed Neo version, but, you know, it's a pretty dangerous kind of Goofy. But that's what I love. And I think it's still very much connects and all works for me with the idea of even the Sith Eternal and Palpatine behind a lot of it there. I go to Moden Kennedy. I go to a lot of stuff in Last Jedi of just surrounded by Egypts as your supervisors and a lot of people not fully getting it, just mindless, you know, power thirsty fascism, in these young ranks there. And I still go to that. And that's why it probably didn't work. It could have maybe even worked better. Not that we want it to work better, I should point out, but that, you know, if they kind of carried on, I don't know. So anyways, I say it is a failed version, regardless of Palpatine's involvement behind the scenes or not, because again, he wasn't there to run day-to-day operations or didn't have someone as qualified as Tarkin. He might've had that in Rae Sloane, but I think Rae Sloane probably found herself at odds with what was happening and might've been part of the reason she was taken out or left or all of the above.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I love that it is in some ways just is terrifying because obviously they had huge amounts of weaponry. They did destroy the Hosnian system and they did successfully terrorize, it appears, large parts of the unknown regions and then infiltrate the galaxy as we know it. So they were real successful at terrorizing people. But I think the big difference to me in the storytelling that I like to think about a lot is the difference of a government being corrupted from the inside, the way that the Republic was turned into the Empire. And, you know, we talked on our recent Star Wars Ranked Father's Day episode about Garrick Versio, right? And so many people who were true believers, and maybe they absolutely did come to believe some of the despicable beliefs of the Empire, some of the racism and some of the, we think, limiting people's personal freedoms and having total control is better. But how much of the success of the Empire was the propaganda of, don't question it, it's the government. It's the same government. It's just better than it was before. Now that those traitors Jedi are gone, and now that we run your factories for you and pay you less, you know, that's better for you. We, the government, decided that. There, I think there's a power to that manipulation and the propaganda versus the First Order kind of just coming back and it very quickly and dominating mostly, yes, through some propaganda, but ultimately through physical force of destroying the Hosnian system.
Yeah, yeah. There's a part of me that goes, look, the First Order might be more dangerous because they're wild, they're loose, they're crazy, they're a loose cannon. You don't know. But then, yeah, what you're describing with the Empire, I mean, that is the slow creeping threat that suddenly is around your neck. It's that's bad. You know, like that is what George was trying to say. So that is, well, I'll go with the Empire. It's like we're rooting for a weird reverse team here.
Yeah. And then the second part of Star Wars mythos is great questions of all personal favoritism aside, which is more threatening, the Empire or the First Order / Final Order? Well, that gets more complicated, right? Because we know that the Final Order ships would have increased the power of the First Order 10,000 fold. I memorized that for a trivia contest, so I'm going to damn well say it on the podcast. 10,000 fold. What do you think about that? What do you think about the raw power, the raw threat of the Empire versus the First Order / Final Order?
I mean, I guess the Final Order had not only the 10,000 fold, but they all had planet destroying weapons on them, right there. So, in a 1-to-1 comparison, I think they're a little bit more threatening. Again, not that the Empire. Follow me here. Like, I don't think they wanted to go around destroying planets. I think they did. I think Krennic definitely did. Tarkin did. But you know what I mean? Like, there was kind of some thought of, if we build this Death Star, we won't have to waste energy on the actual oppression. It can go back through the actual oppression through government channels and this and that. And you know what I mean? I'm not trying to say Tarkin was all about not fighting. He was, but you know what I mean? Like, with the First Order, the Final Order just was like, we're going to tear this all down.
I think there's a real power to that. That I like that is the ultimate story of Palpatine. If we get this arc of like, well, I sort of corrupt the government, and at first everybody's literally applauding for an empire because they've been under war and they've had the separatists to see as this threat, and they can see it as a safe and secure society. But then as I clamp down, there's more and more resistance. So eventually, I'm going to build this big gun, the Death Star, and when I have that threat, I can just wipe out the Senate, and I can kind of do away with even pretending to be open to any other ideas and just control. He tries that twice. Loses his death ball both times. And then by the time he kind of puppeteers the First Order and the Final Order together, any illusion of, hey, I've got a better idea for government, this will be better for you as a society, any sort of subtlety or politics or ideology is stripped away from it. And it's literally just, I am sending a broadcast to the entire galaxy saying, you know, you will burn. The Sith have returned, and I'm going to point a gun at every planet. Attacks on all free worlds begin. I love that storytelling of that's what it's become for him. He's done with subtlety. It's just force.
Yeah.
And not the good force, the dark side of the force. Totally. No manipulation, no subtly convincing you to give up your freedom, taking your freedom by force.
Love it. Yeah. I mean, don't love it, but yes. Good explanation of it.
Yeah. So I think they're both scary is my ultimate answer to Star Wars mythos. It's a tale of one of them totally trying to eventually dominate by nothing but brute force, and the other a tale of both brute force and ideological manipulation. Any final thoughts on that one before we move on, Ken?
No, a lot to think about. Good question, Star Wars Mythos.
Yeah, thank you. We go on to a question from Carl Lind, and Carl says, besides adding drama, do you think cutting off Luke's hand was put in the script to grab the audience's attention for the big father reveal? Bam! Dismemberment! Put your phone down and pay attention. I know people didn't have their cell phones in the theater in 1980. I think that's a great, fun way to ask a question, but a great question to ask. Was it really, did you get people to go like, yeah, they're fighting. It's good versus evil. And then, no, whoa, no, I'm going to sit up and pay attention.
I think it could have worked that way. I got to think George was already, by this point, knew what he was doing. You know, again, the story of when he decided to make Vader Luke's father, you know, it's a fun tale to dive into. But I think the real reason was the loss, the turning into his father, all those kind of things. Not that I was necessarily building to the specific moment in Return of the Jedi, but I think a lot of that groundwork might have been there. But I think it effectively works like Carl's suggesting. That if you're watching Empire in 1980 or whenever you watch it for the first time and you're not aware of the story, yeah, you're thinking good guy's going to save the day, right? That's why people, I think, love Empire. The legacy of it is it flips that on its head a bit. So that probably made you sit up in your seat a little more straight, like, whoa, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And put down the cell phone of your mind.
Put down your pager.
I can't even think of what mobile that you stop writing in your Moleskine notebook. I think for me, I think Carl's is really onto something, because we have, as Star Wars fans, kind of made the Father's Day jokes for years of like, you know, maybe he should have found a different time to tell him other than right after you severed his hand. But I feel like it is intended as and works as an emotional record scratch in a way, that you almost think that the question is, can Luke defeat Vader in battle? And I feel like that moment is, no, that's not what's at stake. That's never what was at stake. He can maybe get some hits in, but no, he absolutely at this point can't physically defeat Vader. And that's not even what he should be worried about right now. It's this emotional truth that he needs to grapple with. That's the real challenge here.
Mm, yeah. All boils down to a hand flying off.
Yeah. But I mean, I think there are a lot of great beats in action scenes like this of like, how do you segue away from the action and make it still in that moment, but make it narrative that you really know why a character is making a choice. It's why I've always liked, even back to 2005, liked the high ground moment.
Yeah.
Because it's this kind of emotional beat to really focus on characters are making decisions and we need to understand exactly why.
Yeah, a good pause, an emotional pause, if that works. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, an emotional pause. Put your phone down because Anakin's going to lose some limbs. And I guess in this instance, put your phone down for Luke losing a limb. Great question from Carl. We're going to move on to Patreon. We're going to stay on our hand theme. This is from Joshua Thorne, and Joshua says, one, losing a limb or a hand is a pretty popular trope in Star Wars. I'm always reminded of it for a split second when Poe and Rose crash the First Order shuttle in the base on Crait. When they both stick their hands out and wave them, saying, don't shoot, I wonder if Ryan ever, for a second, considered using that shot as an opportunity to pay homage to this trope. What would have been your reaction if one of the two did indeed get their hand shot off because they were just waving it in the air like they did not care? Ken, you were at the world premiere of Last Jedi. How would you have reacted if in that moment, who knows, Scythe Ollie blows off Rose's hand?
I think it would have been a large intake of breath, in that screening. I think Ryan did a lot of things intentionally, Joshua. This would not have worked for me, but it's not about it. I'll tell you what, it would have been unintentionally funny. I don't know if that's a good thing, but if like you said, just the image of that, hey, whoa. We're checking things off boxes there.
Yeah. I really love it as a comedy beat. I don't think, I think Joshua's having some fun here. I think that would have been a comedy beat that derailed everything else going on in that part of the movie, but it's just like a random comedy beat in like an episode of Mandalorian. I think that would be hilarious. I'm like, what? Don't shoot. And then, oh, sorry, your hand. Gone.
That is a great robot chicken sketch.
Yeah. Do you have some more thoughts on this? Because I have follow up question for you.
Yeah, no. I was just trying to think of in Last Jedi. Did we actually get the dismemberment that we always seem to want in these movies? I know there was going to be one with Phasma that didn't make the cut, but I'm trying to think. I don't think we actually did.
Well, I think for limb removals in the sequel trilogy, we've got a stretch. We've got the Rathtar's tentacles being cut off by the door in The Force Awakens. Mm. And technically, Snoke's arms do get cut off in Last Jedi when the hero's blade goes all the way through him. But we don't have a real classic, you know, Luke to Vader, Obi-Wan to Zam Wessel. We don't have a classic specific tactical hand removal. And that's what I wanted to ask you about. How do you feel about that? Do you miss a tactical hand removal?
I really don't. I don't. I know. I think I finally got rid of it when I moved, but I did have that shirt that was going around. You can buy on, you know, Ripped Apparel or T Crunchy or whatever. I don't know, whatever. that was all the severed limbs on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So I definitely get it. I like it. I've got a bad feeling about this. It's one that I love and want in everything for here to the end of Star Wars time. But the hand one or the dismemberment of anything, you know, I could leave it or take it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is beautiful, Ken. You know, we look for moments where you and I have a different take, and damn it, I wanted a hand removal. I wanted a nice, clean hand removal. Going into Last Jedi, I think especially from the trailer of Luke Skywalker literally telling us this is not going to go the way you think. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect to have these real specific poetry of Luke lost his hand, Anakin lost his arm to Dooku. I didn't expect Rey to lose a hand, but I did kind of think that somewhere in the sequel trilogy we would get like a tactical hand removal. And I'm trying to think of like... I think part of it was like Rise of Skywalker. There was a real effort to balance Rey's fear of her own ability to cause harm,
right,
with her inherent kindness. You know, we see her heal Vexus, so we're not going to get a Wampa moment. You know, she would rather mind trick the troopers if she can. She does blow a few away. So mm-hmm. I just think, I don't know where I would put it is what I'm wrestling with, but I do wish somewhere in the whole thing there was a hand chopping.
You know, it could have been when Ben Solo is fighting the Knights of Ren. Maybe he does a quick little move before he gets the lightsaber, or maybe after, and maybe with the saber and cuts off one of the Knights of Ren's arms.
I guess he does take an arm off of one of the Alzmec cultists, right?
Right. That's true.
But it's kind of lackluster. It's like he's not even into it.
Yeah. Come on. We want some passion in our dismemberment.
Afterthought. Like, yeah, but I love it as a Jedi philosophy of like, with maybe it's mostly Obi-Wan, but Ponda Baba and Zam Wessel. But yeah.
It's an Obi-Wan. In the Kenobi series, every episode has to end with him slashing someone's hand off.
Oh, I hope it's in the Kenobi series. I also like that the idea that when Anakin gets Ahsoka as a Padawan and Obi-Wan's like, remember, just to teach her everything I taught you, remember, hands first. Tell your Padawan, hands first. I will meditate on where I think a hand severing should have been in the sequel trilogy. Awesome. But with that, we'll move on to our final question from our patron, Kai Thatch. Kai always sends in great questions, as do all of our patrons. And we still got some more juicy ones to get to. So thank you all for sending those in. But for now, Kai says, in the Rebels episode, Twilight of the Apprentice, Maul says that he can't defeat Vader alone. The way the line is read and based on Maul's character, I feel like he is alluding to a former battle with Vader that he lost. Do you think we'll see a fight between Vader and Maul? Do you think it will show up in animation or live action? This is juicy. This goes back to before we even saw Maul actually on screen. We just saw him in a trailer of fans going, ooh, Maul versus Vader. So what do you think, Ken? Do you think that there has been a Maul versus Vader and we haven't seen it yet?
I got to tell you, first of all, Kai is a cool cat. We've known Kai around these parts for years, and I love his perspective on Star Wars, and I love stuff like this because I think this is the kind of stuff you can very easily and successfully spin off into great big moments in other Star Wars storytelling. I really think the idea, whether or not it changes, you know, from movie to now Kenobi as a TV series, but the idea of that line in Return of the Jedi of Vader saying Obi-Wan once thought as you did, and that could just mean New Hope, or it can mean something bigger, and you can spin it off. I'm thinking the Twilight of the Apprentice episode. Is it in that episode or around that time, right? You know, when things are happening fast and furious, I seem to remember Maul's kind of like, oh God, he's here. Like, I'm paraphrasing, but just like, oh no, he's afraid of Vader.
Oh, and yeah, I think that's the area that I think Kai is referencing here. Yeah.
Totally. So I can, whether or not it happened or not, I can be open to yes or no, but if they were to spin that off and, you know, I still like the idea of him being defeated in some way or toppled at least by Kira in the criminal organization. But if there's some kind of, I've always struggled with how does she keep him or how does he end up staying on, what was it? Malachor. Mm-hmm. Could Kira do that? Yeah. I have full faith that Kira could do whatever she wants in defeating Maul, but could that be from Vader? You know, like I can get behind this and it's exciting. It's just a fun possibility in this little wrinkle.
Yeah, yeah. The headcanon that I'm playing with is because I do like the idea that that Kira is either personally responsible for literally dumping him on Malachor, and I wouldn't ever want to sell out, you know, especially since they established her, Teres Kasi, and her resourcefulness that she might find a way to surprise Maul. But within the whole arsenal of ideas that Kira might have, I would think that the Kira we met at Solo, who knows she's in trouble in terms of having to work more closely with Maul in coming to Dathomir, she would absolutely go, okay, well, what is this guy afraid of? What can I possibly get leverage? You know, I can see something where Kira basically calls, you know, sets up a conflict with Vader.
Wow.
If she learns that Maul is afraid of Vader, or afraid of crossing the Empire in particular for some reason, figuring out, I can, you know, set up a trail of breadcrumbs that will lead this Vader guy to Maul.
Wow, the Kira Vader team up, I didn't know I needed.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah, the idea, you know, Maul running around the underworld, there's some reason to believe that they're allowing that, you know, at least Palpatine in some way, right? You know, just kind of like, yeah, cause chaos over there. You're out of the picture, whatever. But we need, you know, the Empire needs the criminal underworld to kind of do its thing, and they can do their thing because the Empire's doing their oppressive thing. So it's this symbiotic circle, not the one Obi-Wan intended when trying to teach us all about it. But oh man, that's exciting! Kira, Kira's. We just need more Kira stories. How about that?
Yeah, we need more Kira stories. That's where our conversation of Vader and Maul leads us. But I would love to see this. This is a fun journey because I think back in the day when, you know, that this is the kind of thing that you would usually really talk about, and who is more powerful, who would win in a fight. And now we've got a lot of development of how powerful Vader is and how feared he is, even by somebody like Maul. I used to think this kind of realm of thought would be just a little bit of a conversation of who is more powerful, who has more force points, you know, kind of,
right.
I don't know, a little limiting. But the storytelling they've been doing with both Vader and Maul is so character-based that I'm excited to see this now because it doesn't feel like a just who's a bigger badass. It feels like, What were these characters be grappling with in order to have this fight, right? Because you could do great stuff with, you know, what is it? I think Vader is more powerful. That seems like this canon storytelling that's been going on.
Right.
Maul sees him is this, like, he's the apprentice who won, you know, the game. He's the one who's been groomed and fated and the one that, you know, the master wanted all along. So he has every reason to hate and fear him. And then, you know, unless there's more canon stories to be told, Maul is the first vision of the dark side that young Anakin saw on that hangar in Naboo.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do some great storytelling with, you know, does he have a flash of what it felt like the first time he saw that evil and it looked so alien to him and now it is him?
Yeah. Oh, God. To connect it back to Anakin, little Annie. Oh, that's a powerful choice. And the just resentment, feelings, abandoned, the stuff that Maul would have with Palpatine still, you know, and then plus that, you know, Palpatine kills his brother and here's the one, and Maul clearly knows Vader's fated with something more. Not that it would at any level cast Maul's just a straight up good guy for a moment. I wouldn't even want that. Yeah, it'd be an interesting character study. Maybe they can just sit down and have a cup of Jawa juice and figure it out for a little bit.
Yes, they can use the Force and fight over that Jawa juice. In terms of animation or live action, Ken, if you were going to see this and knowing kind of the current landscape of Star Wars storytelling, where would you want to or expect to see this?
I actually would be open to both based solely for, you know, full faith in the animation department, but the Maul stuff in season 7 of Clone Wars, what they're able to do with kind of that performance capture into animation, just what made me a really even more open to seeing it. It wouldn't feel small to me necessarily, right? But I you know, if you're factoring in everything we're talking about here today, Vader, you know, Kira, throw Amelia Clark in there, Ray Park, Whitworth voicing him, whatever. That's a win for me. Whether it's a Star Wars Disney Plus movie of the week or in theaters, it wouldn't be in theaters, but a 5-part series, I don't know. I like this idea now.
Yeah, I'm still big on, you know, I don't know what the in total financial realities of this are, but I'd still love them to just do one-off animated movies if it's, you know, it doesn't fit in any larger storytelling, but like, yeah, here's a fun little story we really want to tell about how Maul ended up on Malachor, and maybe that involves Vader, that could just be a, you know, a one-off 2-hour movie available on Disney Plus, I think is great. And if they do that and have motion capture Ray Park and then motion capture Spencer Wilding and Daniel Napras, who are, you know, were the Vaders for Rogue One, man, that could be amazing.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Good question, Thai. Good question.
Yeah, great question. And a great plug for an old episode of Databank Brawl where we did do Vader versus Maul.
We did do that. We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I
we did.
And I've been going through, folks who go back. I know a lot of you try to go back and listen to the old older episodes of Force Center, maybe catch up or revisit. When we made the switch to Anchor, there was kind of an internal problem that the IT departments couldn't figure out. But I've been going back and fixing them. And I do believe the Vader Maul one I fixed this past week. So it's up for your enjoyment.
Oh, yeah, man. Kai, thank you for teeing up our commercial as well as a great question.
We are like Star Wars, all about marketing here.
That's right. And if you listen to that episode of Databank Brawl, it will be available as a Lego figure set, right?
Yes. Get a code to unlock a squadron ship.
Exactly. Well, big thanks to Kai, Joshua, Carl, and Star Wars Mythos. Great questions as always, and we still put a call out on Twitter a while ago and still have a bunch of great questions we're going to get to there in Patreon as well, and when we burn through those we will ask again and more. Thank you as always for having such a great, funny, and insightful questions.
We love them, man. We love the interaction with our Force Center listeners. It's a lot of fun for us. And if you want to join the conversation or follow us, you can do so by going to Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use hashtag Force Center. Like our Facebook page. Follow us on Instagram. Podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. The home is Anchor. And don't forget that you can get merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center or support us at patreon.com/Force Center. We love having new patrons, love bringing you into our community. Join the Discord server through the Patreon page. A lot coming, so check it out if you'd like. And now for what we do, we got some stuff we want to highlight as well, Joseph.
That's right. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for comedy albums and other podcasts and all sorts of other comedy adventures. We've also been trying to be aware that we are moving on and having fun with Star Wars, and still trying to be aware that it's a very difficult time for a lot of people in the world, and trying to highlight ways that we can help. This week, this episode, I wanted to highlight the Navajo Nation Fund. As I'm sure many people are aware, COVID-19 has been particularly ravaging for some indigenous and native communities. And if you're interested in reading more and possibly helping out, you can go to ndncollective.org.
Great stuff there. I am still highlighting, because it is Pride Month, highlighting Maddie's Pride Project on KenKnapsack.com. Just click on the charity tab I have there. I have a list of a lot of things I've either highlighted in the past and still support, and some recommended from friends and listeners to the show as well, and some of my not just Force Center, but Knapsack File stuff. But Maddie's Pride Project is not just something that's important on a global scale for me. It's a family thing. This is created by my cousin Michelle and her daughter Maddie. Michelle wrote that our LGBTQ plus youth need all the support that they can get. This is why we have created Maddie's Pride Project. When my daughter came out, it was a very difficult decision for her. She worried about being accepted for who she is. Now, our family embraced her, but some teenagers aren't so lucky. So Maddie and Michelle and our family want to show support by creating a beautiful set of ears, 3D printed ears she could wear to show her pride. Every sale, Vegas 3D Kids, which is my cousin's company, will donate $10 to Maddie's favorite charity, which is the Trevor Project, an organization that focuses on the mental health and well-being of our LGBTQ plus community. So that is there as well on KenKnapsack.com. And this is something that Joseph and I are going to be doing going forward, and Jennifer as well, I'm sure, when she returns. Joseph said, we always want to be aware of the bigger picture while we have fun talking Star Wars. Because that, I think, is part of the Star Wars lesson.
Yes.
Well, Joseph, great stuff this week. Thank you for all of your contributions. Contributions? Wow, say that word right, Kemp. out there listening, we appreciate your questions and the support. We'll see you later in the week for a big special topic, letting go in Star Wars, the lessons of letting go from a galaxy far, far away. See you then. This was Force Center News.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there. especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.